I've been asked to speak about the meaning of life, and to enter into that question, I will first recite a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Before we read from the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God, we glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the words, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I will read text 12 of chapter 2. The Sanskrit is as follows. Natvevam chatu nasham natvam nebe janadipaham nashevana bhavishyama sarvam vayam ataparam. Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, instructs his devotee Arjuna. And he says, because they are situated between two opposing parties which are going to fight a war, and Krishna has put a chariot between the two armies, and Krishna is instructing Arjuna. He says, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So Krishna tells Arjuna that all these kings here that are going to fight, they have existed in the past, are existing now, and they will never cease to be. He says, never cease to be. They are going to fight. Practically all of them will die. But Krishna says, they will never cease to be. And then further in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, your body changes from boy to youth to old age. But you are in the body. The eternal spirit which does not change. And the body goes from boy to youth to old age and then dies. And you are in the body and you have to tolerate that. Then you go to the next body. How does that bring us to the meaning of life? First, if Krishna says to Arjuna, you are eternal, you don't die, you are eternal, that's good news, that's inspiring, we live forever. But then Krishna gives the bad news, you are in a body, and the body changes and causes you so much suffering that... So, let's accept we are this body. There is no spirit soul. And you live a whole life. You get success in business. You get a PhD at university. You get a nice wife or a nice husband. You have a color TV or... Yeah, today is more something else. But so you are a great success. You have everything you want. And then you die. What's the use of everything? Why all this success and then you die? That's the success story, but mostly it's not so successful. So what's the meaning of life? Everything for nothing? that. But then the question is, who are we? An intelligent man asked a few questions. Why am I suffering in this world? Where do I come from? And where do I go? These are very important questions. Yeah. I explained a few days ago already that 30 years ago, I was working in a home for retired people. I was the head of the administration. And there were 180 residents. Most of them were over 80, even 90 years old. There were 180 residents. Every week, two of them would die. That was normal, normal routine. Two every week. So mostly people come to the... But when new residents come, then the family comes. You see the family the first 2 weeks, and then mostly they disappear. They are abandoned because they were a botheration for their life, these old people. So most they die in solitude. But some die when their family, their sons or grandsons or daughters are there. And it's interesting the reaction of the people. You see the last moment, you see in the eye of the person, the light breaks in the eyes, and then it becomes very peaceful, nothing anymore. The last breath, it's done. And then the family start to cry. My father is gone, my father is gone. I found that very interesting. Where is your father gone? The body is still there. Where is he gone? That means they recognize it's not the body. It was the consciousness in the body. And the consciousness means spirit soul. Then they recognize it's not the body. But Krishna says here, we should recognize during our lives that the living entity is within the body and gives life to the body. That life is consciousness. Unless we understand who we are, where we come from, where we go, then we are like animals. There's no difference. An animal is not concerned with that. Just lives and dies. An animal wants food, sense gratification, sex life. If humans use their intelligence for the same thing, and then they die without inquiring, who I am, where do I come from, where do I go? So the meaning of life. Many are searching for the meaning of life. That search many times comes when they go to a crisis in life. If everything goes good, no need for God or all these things. They think I'm happy. But the happiness, so-called happiness, will not last. There's also suffering. And this body is a machine. We are in this machine. Krishna says in this Bhagavad Gita, Ishvaram Sarvabhutanam, Yantra Rudai Maya. I'm in the heart of all living entities, while seated as on a machine made of material energy. We are seated in this machine. But we are not a machine. If you have a car, If you have a car, you have to put fuel. Otherwise, it will not drive. In the body, there must be the spirit soul, or it will not function. So what is the difference between a living body and a dead body? You go in the street, you ask someone, what's the difference between a dead body and a living body? What will they say? A living body lives and a dead body is dead. But what's the difference? Dead body, there is no consciousness. Consciousness is the symptom of the living entity. If the consciousness is gone, the living entity is gone. We are conscious. Why? Because we are in the heart of this machine. And the bloodstream transports the consciousness all over the body. And therefore, we feel pleasures and pain everywhere where there is blood. If there is no blood, no much feeling. So, this spirit soul. What does Krishna say about this spirit soul? It cannot be killed. It cannot be cut to pieces. It's eternal. It does not take birth. It does not die. And what does Krishna say about the body? The body is just like a garment of the soul. That's dying means changing garment. But the problem is we are identifying with the machine and not with the body. Well, not with the soul. We identify with the body. We think we are this body. And we think about the needs of the body. But we don't think about the needs of our real self. And then we suffer, we are unhappy. Because this real self, Krishna says, what is the real self? Mamavam shoji veloke shiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna says, they are my part and parcel. Krishna is the whole, and we are a part of him. And he is the source of everything. He is in our heart as the super soul and is all pervading and at the same time a transcendental person. And we have a relationship with him. What is our constitutional position? Everyone wants happiness. We are pleasure-seeking living entities. Someone here who wants to be unhappy? No, everyone wants to be happy. A second thing is, everyone is serving. The wife serves the husband, or the husband serves the wife. The parents serve the children. We work for our boss, we serve our boss. That we go out with the dog, we serve the dog. Always service. If people are alone, they keep a dog to serve the dog, but they must serve. That's our position. We must serve. But this service can be directed in two ways. Can be directed to giving pleasure to the body. I'm serving to get money, to get pleasure to the body. But that makes the soul unhappy. We don't feel satisfaction. Where is satisfaction coming from? Satisfaction is coming from the heart. Krishna is in the heart. Suppose someone does performs a great sinful act. He or she kills someone. How does the person feels after committing this act? Happy? No. Great guilt will come within the heart. And that's Krishna in the heart that says, that's not good. I've met so many religious people, monks from other traditions, nuns, and they are all serving God in one way or another. Serving the poor, that giving charity. This is a selfless act. Selfless, without asking something in return. It's like some of you are mothers. As mothers, you serve your children. Why? Out of love. It's not that you say, oh, today is the bill, now we have to pay. No, no, it's out of love. That gives, every mother knows, that gives satisfaction to the heart, pleasure. Selfless service. But if this selfless service is extended to our original Father, the cause of everything, Krishna, then we come in contact with the source of spiritual pleasure. And that gives supreme satisfaction. If we serve just to get material pleasures, what do we get? Frustration. It is not really what we have expected, what happens. You get an ice cream and it drips. You want to taste your very nice food, but you have to cut your tongue. Always something happens that you never get the satisfaction that you expect. That what is this material pleasures for the body? Think about it. What is this body? Is it meant to give us pleasure? You are hungry, you are going to eat. Then what is hunger? It's a pain in the stomach, and you eat and then it's gone. And that's our pleasure. No, that's just an illusion of the mind. The real pleasure is inside, in the heart. And that is by selfless service to the Supreme Person. And that's what Bhagavad Gita is teaching. Transfer of our attachment. The meaning of life is to get back our eternal life as a spirit soul. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya pavavamata sarvam pavartate. I'm the source of all material and spiritual worlds. We are for the moment in the material world. Yeah, that's not the best place to be. That it's like a fish out of the water. Can a fish be happy out of the water? No, we can never get full satisfaction here. It's just not going to happen. The fish must again be in the water. And we belong in our home. And our home is the spiritual world. The spiritual world, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, is called Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, without misery. But now we are all in a miserable condition, and And if we are not, just wait until this body gets older. You will quickly understand that this body is meant to give us pain. It's a machine to give pain. How much pleasure can you get from a finger? Think about it. It can be crushed, it can be cut, can be burned, so many things. But what pleasure do you get from it? Nothing. So it's an illusion to think that we can become happy by serving the material energy. Material energy means it's a world of illusion in which we identify with this body. We identify with this body and we want to give pleasure to this body. But this body is not going to reward us for that. We do so much for the body. We get up in the morning and we wash it, or shave it, or comb the hair, and make it beautiful, and then we go to the toilet, a lot of perfume because otherwise, and then after that, we offer clothes to the body. So much service we do for the body. And then we offer food to the body, and then we go out. We go out to work to show the glories of the body to others. We are servants of this machine. And at the end of life, what do you get? The body will reward you? No, the body will say, "Out! The time is over. It's too old now, it doesn't function anymore. Out." That's what we get. So that's certainly not the goal of life. But it's very important to consider who we are. That are we this hand? I've seen people without hands. Without legs, even. That's today they have the surgeons, they can replace so many parts of the body. But if you ask someone, "Who are you?" They don't know. Or you say, "You." And the man says, "Oh, me?" Here are you, in the heart. That's where you are. That's where the consciousness comes from. We have a gross body. That gross body is made of earth, air, ether, water. These are the earth, air, ether, water, and fire, yeah. These are the gross elements of the body. That's what you can touch, but we have also a subtle body, which is in the gross body. That's made of a mind. We all have thinking, feeling, willing, likes, dislikes, that's the mind. And we have another energy, it's intelligence, discrimination. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there is a third element in this subtle body. That's the false ego, the concept that I am the body. The false identification. So, you have the subtle body and the gross body. When we sleep, the gross body takes rest. And the subtle body when we go in deep sleep, is also in rest. But sometimes we dream. That's the subtle body which is awake and functioning, and the gross body is still asleep. That's dreaming. Death means change of gross body, another garment, but it's the same subtle body that brings you to your next destination. And on this subtle body is then a new gross body produced in the womb of a mother. How does it work? Where do we go? It's explained in Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vaps vrambram tayante vikalevram tam tam evete kantyasadasad bhava bhavata. Whatever consciousness one has at the time of death, Krishna says, will determine your next body. So, because in the subtle body, in the life airs, there is the soul and the consciousness. And that's the cause of the next body, your consciousness. So if you have lived like an animal the whole life, just for sense gratification, then in your next life you get a body suitable to engage in sense gratification, an animal body. Krishna says then you don't need this intelligence. It's just a problem. But with animals, they just engage in sense gratification. They don't need a life insurance or good relationship or whatever. They get it all easy. Like sometimes I'm going to Vrindavan, and now it's not so prevalent anymore. But 10 years ago, there were everywhere hogs in the street. And of course, India is not like the West. You have the sewage is at the side of the road, and this hogs, they would jump in it and splash. And if you are just around them, and they would eat all the stool in the sewage, and they would enjoy it. For them, it's like sweet, so nice that. But give the hog halava, a nice sweet, doesn't like it. And the hog, sex, no problem. With the mother, with the brother, nobody will say something. And if they eat too much, they come too fat, nobody will complain. Very easy life. If we want that, Krishna gives us that. But if we want to be progressive, then we have to understand what's the goal of life. The goal of life is to get higher pleasure, transcendental pleasure, and develop love, loving relationships. How can we develop relationships if we think we are the body? Then relationships are based on a give and take policy. Give and take. That why a girl and a boy are attracted. Because the boy thinks I'm the body, and this girl, it's nice to touch, nice to hear speaking, sweet words. All senses become attracted, and therefore there is give and take pulse policy. But this is a relationship, if it's based on that is not going to last. That will very quick give problems. First time when I came in contact with the devotees, that was in Belgium, in Antwerp. I was a chartered accountant, right? I went in my suit with tie, and I met the devotees, and they were very nice with me. They were serving me spiritual food, prasad. If someone serves you, what do you think? This person loves me. And a second thing I remarked was, they had time for me. They were listening to me. Nobody in this world listen anymore to one another. They were listening. They were interested in what I was saying. I was not used to that kind of relationship. So immediately, being a big materialist, I was thinking, but what do they want from me? Because everyone has a motive. But these motives, that is destructive for relationships. Spiritual relationships, real relationships, must start with recognizing the person. And the person is a spirit soul in the body. And one should not act in relationship for mutual exploitation. So real relationships on the spiritual platform are very beautiful. It's only giving without something, wanting something in return. This is a relation of love. But that relation of love is connected with relation of the, with our relation with the Supreme Person. Because we are all connected with Him, is in our hearts. Krishna is in our heart. And if we recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Controller, the source of everything, that everything in this world is meant to give Him enjoyment, to understand that He's the real proprietor of everything, and that He's our best friend, and we engage in His service, then our heart becomes purified from this bodily conception, for thinking we are this body. Because we have a spiritual connection, then our heart becomes purified, and lust, anger, greed, envy, it all disappears from the heart. And then we become of exemplary character, persons with character. If one engages in the drinking of alcohol, eating flesh, and living for the senses, it's a miserable person. But when one has a spiritual relationship, then one becomes strong in character. One starts to understand, I'm not a body and I'm not a mind. That's very important, because most people are identifying with the mind. Identification with the mind, with the likes and dislikes of the mind. So that is very troublesome, because the spirit soul is meant to control the intelligence and the mind. So we have said the spirit soul symptom is consciousness, but what does the soul do? The soul desires. That's very important. If we desire to give pleasure to this body, then we become miserable. That if we desire to give pleasure to Krishna, we become happy. Because who is Krishna? He's the source of everything. He's the root. If you have a tree and the root, and you give water to the root, then it will go to the leaves, to the branches, everyone. If we please Krishna, we please everyone, because Krishna is in the heart of everyone. And then, by that selfless service, we develop beautiful relationship of service. We forget about exploiting each other, but serving. And that's a great source of happiness in the heart. So, try to inspire you to understand something of the ABC of spiritual life. Any questions?